Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yael Eshedarel. Hello. Today, we're going to breach some social conventions. Be with us, Yael, please. Yeah, we know that our society has certain social conventions according to which we live. What you can do, what you can't do, it's not written anywhere, but everyone knows that this is how you're supposed to behave, whether it's what you wear, how you eat. These are very basic things, like how do we treat each other? Like you said on one of our previous shows, that no one's going to walk around with an elephant. We all walk dressed. We don't walk around naked. We know what are the rules in each and every situation in life, and there are people that breach these prevailing beliefs, whether it's in science or in family life or in how you dress or music, you name it. They're the ones that breach these frameworks, and they take us forward to the next step. And I'd like to talk about these people. What characterizes them? Usually, these are people that want to gain something. What characterizes them? Profit. What kind? Usually money. For most of them. There are those like musicians, artists, special scientists that do what they do for the sake of their own art, so to speak. For example, serving in the IDF, which is considered to be a sacred cow, meaning a certain value that we all know that we have to serve in order to protect our country. And we see that in recent years, this prevailing belief is weakening, meaning if in the past you didn't serve in the IDF, then society kind of acted against you. And today, it's not that way anymore. So, you didn't go to the army, so what? Meaning, this convention is also starting to dissipate. There are also other prevailing beliefs that people would like to breach because they don't feel free in what society dictates them to do. What makes people suddenly want to breach such social norms, like, for example, going to the army? I think that it's their ego that all in all shows them that they'll gain more if they don't go. What do they need it for? And this is how it is with everyone. Everyone's looking for ways to exploit society, to exploit others, exploit the country, and this is what they do. And of course, the more our ego grows over time, the more we use it. Look, obviously, many times these frameworks are inconvenient for us. Because I don't want to behave the way I'm told to. Of course, I feel the need to change the framework many times, but I don't do it. You don't do it because something stops you on the inside. But someone else doesn't feel that there is something that's stopping him, keeping him in a framework. And therefore, he breaches it. He doesn't even feel that he's breaching anything. For him, that fence doesn't exist. This is also a question. Is there a need to breach one or another kind of social norm, or can it be a linear process of change? No. Society can't exist without norms. That's clear. Every society needs it. It's impossible to imagine a society that has no social norms or prevailing beliefs. What does such a society look like? It looks as a society that is corrected in everything, that it needs no limitations, no boundaries, no laws, but that every person inside their heart, inside their soul, have a book of rules that they keep instinctively because this is how their nature already is. You're talking about a society that we're not yet familiar with.
Yeah.
Without social norms, what would our society look like? Why is it so necessary? I can't imagine our society without social norms. It wouldn't have been our society anymore then. I'm sorry, but your question is irrelevant. Is there such a society where everyone can do whatever they feel like? No. Only in a psychiatric ward. Why? Why can't it work this way, where everyone does whatever they feel like? Because a person is inside of it. It's his nature. He's already formatted inside this framework. His ego understands that this is how he has to be in order to enjoy. If I won't dress properly, then I will not enjoy the society that I'm a part of. Why not? Because my ego is gonna get hurt. Belonging to a certain society, this actually allows my ego to feel complete, of course. Because we feel the complete opposite. No. If everyone's gonna yell that it's good to drink a glass of water in the morning, or a glass of wine, or a glass of milk, then I'll also do it, because their opinion will force me to, even though that it's not tasty at first. Right? But I can't, because then I feel this fear, insecurity. Everyone's doing it. Probably they're getting something as a result. They're healthier. They agreed upon it. They're doing it together. They feel that maybe they're part of the same nation and so on. And I'm not a part of things. I start feeling this inner anxiety. So if I don't feel that I'm part of society, then I feel anxious. Yeah. So a person actually wants to breach all of these frameworks and to live in his inner freedom, to be whoever he wants. No. No such thing. What you're saying is a fantasy. Who wants to breach everything and live free and so on? And also, when he breaches something in order to be free, he simply goes into another society, meaning he will always join a certain group that supports his opinion, and he'll never remain as a lonely Don Quixote against everyone. Sure. Why? Because his ego needs to feel social support. A person can't exist as an individual unit in this world? No. A person who's alone against the entire world, what does he feel? This is only on condition that he's directly connected to the Creator. So you're saying there's no other option, that something on the inside won't allow him to reach this state. Right. So we're very strongly connected to society, and because of this... Okay, I understand. Suppose ideological revolutions that took place throughout history. There was a certain worldview. At some point came revolutionaries and gave birth to a new worldview. The old ideology moved aside, came a revolution that shattered the previous perception and gave birth to a new one. I want to take a look at the people that led these processes, that paved the way. Who were those people that led these processes? There's the majority of the population. Suddenly, from among them, comes a small minority that paved the path to the next degree. At the end of the process, they pull everyone else with them. So who are they? What do they have that others don't? They got a new desire that developed in them, that jumped up in them, revealed in them, and they broke forth to realize this new desire. And when they broke forth, they had to break the old in order to make place for the new. Why is it that many times you see that in order for something new to be accepted, you have to break the old? Why does it work that way? Why aren't things naturally born one from within the other? Why in between many times there are shatterings and so on, and only from the ruins something new is born? It depends. Depends what kind of revolution. What does it depend on? If a revolution is correctly based on understanding, on gradual advancement, it doesn't break anything. It just builds. And when it builds, then the previous thing helps, supports, and it itself is destroyed because it's no longer in use. I understand. You don't have to destroy anything. This is what I'm trying to say. Many times there is a feeling that the fact that something's broken and is being cancelled, and then there is a new perception, it's something very powerful. It's something much stronger than something that gradually enters our life. It really creates some kind of inner social revolution. And then everyone lets go of that old thing and moves on to the new thing. When they feel that that thing's better, so what? It's all according to the ego. So eventually, I have to see that it's beneficial for me. The general social ego develops, showing us new forms that we can enjoy more. So, breaking social norms is something good. I don't think that by this we breach the social norms or prevailing beliefs. Breaking social norms is going upstream. But it's not that instead of wearing this skirt, I wear that skirt. But instead of a skirt, wearing pants, this could be a revolution. Yeah, but I don't see it as a breakthrough. What is a breakthrough? A breakthrough is something that has to do with an idea that exists in people, in their approach, in their attitude to life, and that it didn't grow and already exists in their consciousness that this is how it has to be, that they have to rise to the next level. But this is something that still doesn't exist in the majority of them, but only in the few representatives of society, and then they break forth and try to pull the others with them, and the others, they don't understand why and what for. But the small minority nonetheless succeed in pulling the majority. And how does it differ from the other revolution we talked about? That there, you have an egoistic consensus that egoistically it's better for us to wear pants than skirts. And here what? Because I understand that it's better for me to wear pants than a skirt because it's more comfortable or something. I get something as a result. And here, when I have to make some kind of big change, and I don't feel like making this change, but for this, I have to have faith in the wise, and I have to become a part of some small revolutionary group, and so on. Previously, you said that a person, in order to want to make a change, he needs to want something. In order for something to awaken in him, he needs to feel that he's gaining something as a result. So, if suddenly there is some really odd worldview that falls upon me, then, you know, it's something that I can't grasp. It's a too big of a revolution. Right, and this is what we see with the wisdom of Kabbalah. Therefore, it's waiting for thousands of years so that the world will reach a state where it already sees that it's at a dead end and that there's nothing good up ahead. And whatever way it turns, it won't succeed in anything. And that eventually it has no choice but to accept the path opened by the wisdom of Kabbalah. What kind of social norms does the wisdom of Kabbalah break? The first problem is that all of its values are against the ego, against our own nature. What do you mean? It means that I have to love others, connect with others, care for others. I have to make sure that we'll all be connected as friends, as one society, one homogeneous society where everyone's equal. It completely cancels myself. Where am I as a unit, feeling the world reviving around me, and that I'm like in a supermarket where I take what's good for me and I don't care about the rest. The main thing is that I fill my basket. And here I'm told, no, you have to work with others. You have to see whether they can also fill their basket. Are they well off? Do they know what should they and what shouldn't they take? Meaning, you completely disconnect me from myself, which is my nature, and to care for others. How can I do that? It's like Bala Sulam writes, a person doesn't have enough time to think about himself. How can he think about the world? Therefore, my idea is very abstract, unless we know that otherwise society will not be able to advance or exist altogether, then we already have to start thinking, how will we cross to the next stage gradually, through education, over a period of several generations, but to come closer to those ideals like being as one man and one heart, as it says in the Torah. What kind of social norms does the wisdom of Kabbalah want to build for all of us to agree to what? Ideals. The ideals of the wisdom of Kabbalah are well known. First and foremost, love another as thyself, which is the great rule of the Torah. And this condition spreads out into many subconditions. Don't do to others what you hate, love another as thyself. And from here comes the entire plan of human behavior, of man's behavior with himself, with society, with nature, with ecology, with the inanimate, the vegetative, the animate, with the Creator, the way he has to build himself on the inside as a different, new person. He has to exchange his entire method in which he's used to using everyone for his own benefit. But now he has to think, how does he use all of his inclinations for the benefit of others? It demands a change in perception, a change that we're not yet familiar with. And this is something really important. Once again, a person falls into fear. What about me? How will I get out of this? The entire world, they're caring for themselves. And what about me? I'm leaving my family, leaving myself, leaving everything. As Bala Sulam writes, in the book of Shamati, article number 4, what is the reason for the heaviness one feels when annulling before the Creator in the work? That he feels that he's disconnected from everyone. How can I do that? Because I have no inner system that allows me to belong to someone, to something. Meaning, suddenly he feels this void inside himself. Meaning that we have to gradually develop a system of education, of new values, gradual values that will enter a person. Suppose in this process that from what you're describing, I feel that it's a gradual process. What is the first prevailing belief that the public has to agree on? That all of us are a part of one nation. We can say one group. It could be millions and billions. One group. That according to the way nature develops, we have to become a mutual, integral, homogeneous society where we're all connected as a circle or like a ball, where everyone feels everyone else and is connected with everyone, caring for everyone else. Meaning this is what we have to change our attitude to, our perception, and then the world will be perfect. By the plan of nature, this is what we have to come to. And unless we advance on our own, nature will push us there through calamities. Lately, we're starting to feel that despite all of our development and success and science and technology and everything, we see that our life is becoming much less convenient than before. This is the first consent. Yes, general consent. Yeah, I'm talking only about prevailing beliefs. Okay, the second social convention, prevailing belief, what should it be? That, as a result, we have to build an educational system for all of us in mutual support so that we'll all understand that it's to our benefit, even though that it's against our own nature, that what's to our benefit? For us to build a system in which we will all be connected as one man and one heart. And when you're saying an educational process, are you only talking about children? No, no, I'm talking about the entire society that has to lead us to what new concept, perception. An educational process isn't only about perception. It's a truly revolutionary process that makes the revolution. In this educational process, we work together so that gradually, through learning, we connect together in circles in order to draw upon us the one unique and unified force that exists in nature called the upper light, called the reforming light, and for it to change us from what to what, from our egoistic connection that exists among all of us to an altruistic connection among all of us. And in such a society that advances and acquires more and more advanced prevailing beliefs, will such a society breach social norms? Such a society that develops more and more in its understanding and in the relations between its friends, members, in this process, will they breach the previous beliefs and, yeah, how will it work? They will more and more break the previous egoistic relations we had, and instead of them, we'll build more and more altruistic relations between us. People in this kind of society, what will they feel? They'll get support from society, and then, because it's everyone, they don't feel fear to start working in a way that I throw everything and care only for others. Because if this is going to be the general opinion, then there will be no problem. This is how I'll see everyone, and this will strengthen me. Will the individual feel that society is suppressing him? To the contrary, that it elevates him where? Upwards, in appreciation, importance, gratitude. What will be the highest value in such a society? The highest value will be the degree to which I bestow to society. To the last bit I give to society, what do I get as a result? This is what I get as a result, that I've given everything. But what do I get as a result?